Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. And this is Mike from Where's Obama's Birth Certificate.com. Once again, that's Mike from Where's Obama's Birth Certificate.com. I'd like to welcome everybody. Right now, I have my co-host, Mona. She's out there somewhere standing by. I'm going to bring her on here, see if she's on with us. We have a pretty good lineup tonight. I'm looking forward to having a whole lot of guests call in. One of the guests will be Commander Kirshner, retired. Charles Kirshner, he has a blog. We have Attorney Karen Kiefer, who was a plaintiff with Commander Kirshner in a Obama ballot challenge in Pennsylvania. We also have Mario Puzo, who's scheduled to call in at the beginning of the hour. And we have at 8:15... scheduled is former Lieutenant Commander Terry Lakin. He's going to be scheduled to call in at 8:15. Right now, I want to go over a few things, what we're doing on the website, where's Obama's birth certificate.com, and what we have planned. Right now, trying to bring this to Congress, the whole birth certificate issue, the forged document, why nobody is stepping forward and investigating it. And we're starting a campaign. I have several of my followers who are scheduled meetings with the congressman, with their congressman, and are going to present irrefutable evidence and ask them why they haven't investigated this. What we're going to do is make available all of the video from the Sheriff Joe Arpaio news conference and make that available to everybody so they can download it or I can mail it to them and they can bring that to the congressman's office. Right now, I have a caller coming in and he's a special guest. He calls in a lot here. And actually, we email a lot together. And right now, I am going to welcome Carl Gallup to the show. Carl Gallup, you're on the air.
Thank you, Mike. What an honor to be on the show with you this afternoon. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome, Carl, and I appreciate you coming on. Carl, I wanted to ask you a few questions today, if you have a couple of minutes.
Yes, I do. I'd be honored to do that, Mike.
Carl, Mike Zulu is working very hard, and he's presenting this to Congress, going to individual congressmen and putting it right there on the table in front of them as he's meeting with them. And I'd spoken to Mike about this, and I asked him a simple question. I said, Mike, when you go into their offices and meet with them, what's their reaction? How come they haven't been looking at this? And Carl, he told me flat out that most of them have no idea whatsoever about this controversy. What's your thoughts on that, Carl?
Yeah. Well, you know, Mike Zulu and I talk daily. In fact, I've already had a couple of conversations with him today, and this is something that Mike and I have discussed quite often in the past. And as we've moved along with this, we have found that the majority of those that we have been speaking with have not heard of it. They've either not heard of it or they know very little about it. Now, we have spoken with a couple who knew quite a bit about it, but that's because they were maybe a little more involved early on because of some of their constituents. But by and large, Mike, what we've discovered, and I'm going to give you my philosophy. I think here's what's happened. I've been to Washington, D.C. I've been in the Capitol building. I've been there in front of the White House, and I've been at CPAC, and I see the hoopla and the grandiose nature of everything, and I know those congressmen, Mike, when they're there in session, It may not be hard manual work, but it's hours and hours of having your brain sucked out, and everybody has an agenda, and everybody wants your time, and everybody wants a piece of you. And I know the congressman's day starts very early, and then it usually ends very late. And that doesn't mean they're sitting at a desk grinding away. Often they're at parties and meet and greets, but that's work too, because, I mean, they're there, they've been invited, they're expected to be there. Again, people are pulling on them, people are sucking their brains out. And so I imagine what happens is that, you know, the media and Obama's operatives have done a good job of shutting down the mainstream media reporting on this. Plus, a lot of the mainstream media is just in the tank for Obama, so they're glad to comply. So one of these typical congressmen, and, you know, there are hundreds and hundreds of them, Mike, but they put in a 12, 14, 16-hour day. They go home. They plop down on the couch, maybe turn on Fox News or CNN, depending upon what their, you know, ilk is, maybe MSNBC, God forbid, ABC, NBC, CBS, and they listen to the so-called news. And if they don't hear anything about the birth certificate fraud or the Obama fraud case, which they won't, then they don't know anything about it. And if they do hear anything, it's usually some kind of tinfoil hat, birther, conspiracy theory, nut jobs, wing jobs, wing nuts. And so that's their impression of it. In the meantime, they go back to Capitol Hill and they're dealing with wars and rumors of wars and scandals. And when it gets mentioned to them, I think the majority of them either just don't know, or they've tucked it away in the back of their mind a long time ago, thinking, well, that's just some nut jobs out there. I mean, after all, the guy's been in two elections. He's won the election. Surely somebody, I mean, he's been a senator. Surely somebody would know. And I think that's what's happened, Mike. But now, as I have immersed myself in this for the last 5 or 6 years, and as you have, and now that Mike Zullo has done it at the criminal investigative level, what we know is that this is real. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's moved to a conspiracy crime. I mean, a conspiracy was committed, was formulated to commit a crime, a fraud, and that has been done. And so when we take the information and we place it in front of congressmen, we sit down in their offices, at a desk with them and their chiefs of staff usually, and they see what we have, you should watch their jaws hit the table. I mean, think of it, Mike. Mike Zullo was at the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association annual conference in St. Charles, Missouri some weeks back, and here is a room full of sheriffs and chiefs of police and attorneys general, not attorneys general, but state attorneys and attorneys and a constitutional attorney and elected officials. Most of them had not heard of it for the same reasons. And I think that Obama and his minions learned a long time ago, if you can pretty much just shut down the mainstream media and then marginalize and lampoon everybody on the internet, you can pretty much keep the important people out of the loop. And I think that's what has happened. But I'm telling you, Mike Zullo, Sheriff Arpaio, myself, and others, we have made more progress in the last 3 or 4 months than we have in the last 5 years. And it's moving along quickly and nicely. I know that a lot of people are very concerned because to the average guy sitting out there watching this, it seems like it's taking forever. But we're pretty excited about how quickly it really is moving. I mean, just a few days ago or a week or so ago, I've lost track of time, so if I'm off by a day or two, please forgive me. I'm not trying to purposely mislead your audience. But a week or so ago, Mike Zullo was called back to Washington, D.C. by another congressman, and he went back and met with this congressman, very influential congressman, went into their office, sat down with them and their chief of staff, presented everything, and now they're very concerned, and they're going to talk to other congressmen. So things are happening. In the meantime, just in the past couple of days, Zullo is continually being called and solicited by very powerful, influential, important people around the nation who are beginning to hear about it. So it's been a long, hard road, Mike. It's taken a lot of work and effort, but I think some people who can get something done are finally waking up to it. Now, that I can't promise your audience that something big will be done, but I can promise you that we're working towards the end of a congressional investigation at least, and we have people who are promising us they're working with us. And that's where we are right now.
Well, thank you, Carl. That pretty much sums it up, and that does make a lot of sense what you're saying. And that's why, Carl, this week we are going to focus on grassroots operations. We are encouraging everybody. We're putting together what's called the Sheriff's Kit. I've spoken to Mike about this, Mike Zulu. It's going to be all the Sheriff Joe's conferences, including the last one that Mike just attended in Missouri, the Constitutional Sheriff's Conference, all available in DVD. We could mail them out to you. We're going to have the affidavit that Mike has filed with the Alabama Supreme Court. We're going to encourage everybody to make an appointment to visit their congressman, go into their office face-to-face. I've already had several of my followers make appointments, and they are in the process of making them and downloading the information and getting the information from me. We're going to do it, like I said, one congressman at a time. We're going to compile a list of who my followers have seen. This way we can pass the information on to other congressmen and say we've shown it to this person and this person and this person. We're going to take it one step at a time. We're going to fight, call one congressman at a time, and we're going to get our country back. Carl,
yes.
Have you ever heard of Mario Puzo?
I have.
I have him on hold. One of the things on my show tonight is there's always been a lot of confusion when you say birth certificate, Obama, forgery. There's been two fronts. There's been the natural citizens clause, meaning you have to be an American citizen, born on American soil, and there's a whole controversy in that. And Mario, from the beginning, has fought that very hardly. And he's going to come on the air. We're going to focus on that half tonight. We're actually going to flip the coin and look at that because there's just so much confusion. There's no doubt that the document is forged that the White House presented with the birth certificate. But Mario has been fighting the other end, whether Obama is actually eligible under our Constitution.
Right. Yeah. Well,
do you have a couple of minutes, Carl?
Yes, I do. And let me just say, Mario may not remember this. I'm not so vain to think he would remember being on my show, but I have actually interviewed him before. It's been years ago, I think back in the beginning of all of this, and he was on my show, and I interviewed him. And I'm familiar with him and his work and deeply appreciative of it. I am not an attorney, nor do I claim to be, nor do I try to play one on television. But I have, of course, immersed myself in investigating this concern of natural-born citizen status. And you know, that's an interesting point raised, Mike, because even if the birth certificate proves to be not a forgery, and I don't know at this point how that could happen, but you know, it could be. And by the way, let me say to your audience, Mike Zulu and Sheriff Arpaio and I, we're always ready to step away from this if we are presented with 100% verifiable evidence that the birth certificate is legitimate, because we're not out to crucify a politician. We're out for truth and to protect our Constitution. So, let me just say, if the birth certificate hypothetically were proven to be 100% viable, then there still is the matter of, but even so, is he a natural-born citizen? And that's very important, because from all of my research, and I'm not going to try to steal any of Mario's thunder, nor am I going to try to play an attorney, but I just cannot imagine from everything I've researched that our founding fathers would have envisioned anything short for the office of presidency, the only office in the land wherein it's spelled out in the Constitution, natural-born citizen. I cannot imagine that they would envision anything less than somebody born on native soil or soil that's designated a part of the United States, and who's born to parents who are citizens at the time of his birth. I just can't imagine they would require anything less. But you know, one more thing I'm going to say, Mike, before my time is up. I presented this to Mike Zulu, and I've presented it to a national audience. I've presented it to learned people, and every time I do, their jaw hits the ground. Because this is something that a lot of people are not thinking about, Mike, and I want you and your audience to think about this. If Obama is indeed born in the United States, then let me ask a simple question. Why is it that not a single hospital in a single state anywhere is willing to officially claim his birth, erect a monument, put a plaque on the wall? I mean, if he is really America's first black president, if he is really this iconic world figure, this Nobel Peace Prize winning first in American history, first in world history, black president, the most powerful man in the world is a black man, If all of that is true, and if he really is this history-changing, iconic representation of American history, does it even begin to make sense that not a single hospital in the entire United States will officially claim him? Now, he has on his birth certificate that he was born at Kapi'olani Hospital in Honolulu. However, he had originally claimed he was born at Queens Hospital. But when Queens Hospital came out and said, no, it never happened here, then the dialogue, the discussion moved to Kapi'olani. Now the birth certificate comes out and says Kapi'olani, but Zulo and an entourage have been to Kapi'olani, and they will not verify it, nor will they give him anything in writing, nor have they erected a monument, nor will they claim it publicly, nor have they even hung a plaque on the wall indicating that the first black president of the world and in the United States was born in their hospital. Now, that is mind-boggling to me, and the only reason I can think of why they won't do it is because they're protecting their reputation. Presidents come and go, but hospitals are in business for the long haul. And they know that if they lie about this and it's ever found out, their reputation is sunk. I think he was not born there, and I think Kapi'olani knows it, and I think that's why they won't erect a monument to it. Now, if he wasn't born at Kapi'olani where he says he was, then where was he born? Well, probably not even in the United States. So there's something to chew on, Mike.
You're absolutely right, Carl. It doesn't make any sense. And with Zulu's investigation and his many trips to Hawaii, we don't have an answer. And every time we ask another question, there's four other questions that are raised.
Well, listen,
Go ahead, Carl.
I was just going to say, the Department of Health in Hawaii will not officially verify. All they say is, you've got the birth certificate, and then Zulo asked the representative, yes, but is it the same birth certificate with the same information that you released to the White House? And their only answer was something, I'm going to have to paraphrase, but it's something along the lines of, well, we can't help what happens to a birth certificate once it leaves here. In other words, they would not even own up to the fact that what's on the White House is what they released. So even the Department of Health will not own the birth certificate. It's amazing.
They're covering their backs, Carl. They're covering their backs all the way.
Carl,
why don't you tell people where they can find you before I bring Mario on the line?
Yes. They can find me at carlgallups.com, CarlGallups, carlgallups.com. Everything about me is right there.
Thank you very much, Carl, for being on the air tonight.
Thank you, Mike, for having me, and I'm going to have to hang up. I've got another important engagement, but give Mario my regards. I thank the world of him, and I appreciate what he's doing.
Thanks again, Carl.
Thank you. God bless you, Mike.
That was Carl Gallups, and you can also find Carl on Freedom Fridays every Friday from 4 to 6 Central Time. You can find him on the Internet. You can find him on TuneIn Radio. He broadcasts from WEBY out of Milton, Florida. I want to thank Carl once again. Now I have a guest who's been holding very patiently, and his name is Mario Puzo. He's an attorney, and my website was created in 2008, and at the very beginning when we were struggling to get the word out, I came across Mario Puzo, and I gave him a phone call, and he vaguely remembers it, and until recently we started talking again. I put a link in my website at wheresobamasbirthcertificate.com. It says Mario Puzo. It's been there since 2009. And because he was one of the pioneers as far as attacking the natural birth citizenship clause, and he's still fighting it today. And with that, I am going to welcome Mario to Where's Obama's Birth Certificate. Mario, welcome.
Hello, Mike. How are you? Nice to be with you and your audience.
I appreciate that, Mario. Thank you very much. Was that introduction pretty much correct?
Yes, it is. It's correct, and it's a nice introduction. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome, Mario. You deserve it. You heard Carl say that I'm flipping the coin tonight and we're going to go the other route. Mario, correct me if I'm wrong, but when this whole birth certificate, I'm going to say birth certificate issue started, it was, he had a certificate of live birth. Then there was questions about his past. And then we wanted to see a real birth certificate because we realized that anybody can get a certificate of live birth in the state of Hawaii, because at the time of Obama's birth, it had just become statehood, and people were getting official government documents. And then questions came up about where he was born, who his father is. We know who he's saying his father is. And then the Natural Born Citizens Clause came up, which you got involved in. And we're fighting two fronts here, Mario. We're fighting a forged document that the White House has on its website, and then there's the front that you've been fighting since day one. So why don't you go ahead, Mario, and give my audience an idea of what you've been doing and what you're doing.
Okay. I think it's important to understand the structure of the issue, because once you understand that, then you can see where all the pieces fit in. And there's confusion about if somebody says, oh, I'm only fighting the birth certificate, I'm not interested in the natural born citizen issue, or that sort of statement, okay? Now, what has to be understood here is that first you start with natural born citizen, okay? Because again, we're talking about eligibility to be president. You've got three factors under Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5. Just three: natural born citizen, at least 35 years old, and at least a 14-year resident, okay? So the only issue there is natural-born citizen, okay? Now, the fact about a birth certificate and the hospital and the parents and the uncle and the niece, all that stuff, okay, that basically falls into the question of natural-born citizen. So you can't say, oh, I'm only interested in the birth certificate, I'm not talking about the natural-born citizen issue. No, it's natural-born citizen. Now, what part of natural-born citizen? Now, depends on what your definition of a natural-born citizen is. Okay, my research that I've done for, over 4 years now, I've read, everything you could imagine. I've written extensively on the subject. My conclusion, and it hasn't been proven wrong, is that a natural-born citizen is a child born in the country to citizen parents. Okay? Now, there's two parts to what I just said. Born in the country, citizen parents. So when we talk about the birth certificate and he's got a forged selective service card and he's got a phony Social Security number, okay, all those things go to who is Mr. Obama and where was he born. So we're still talking about the natural born citizen, except we're only talking about place of birth. According to the definition, you got to be born in the country. So that's where that belongs. Now, in my litigation that I filed, and the first case I did was for Commander Kirchner, basically I argued two points. I said, number one, this is what a natural-born citizen is. It's a child born in the country to citizen parents. What's the first issue? Is he born in the country? I said, he hasn't proven it yet. It's not conclusively proven. And to this day, he's never presented a valid piece of evidence to any court in the whole country. You don't have a birth certificate in any court, even though there's been, probably over 200 cases. Although some are very repetitive and some never really got to the merits. But the point is that there's been many, many, many cases where somebody could have introduced into evidence a piece of evidence that's competent and valid, introduced into evidence, and that's it. That would have ended the issue of place of birth. You only need to do it just once. Then it's called res judicata. In other words, you don't have to keep proving it. Never been done. So I argued that it still hasn't been done. It's still an open question. Now, do I know where he was born? No. I'm not saying he's born here, he's born there, he's born anywhere. I don't know. The only thing I know is that under normal circumstances, if you want to go down and get a driver's license in New Jersey, for example, you got to have 6 points, they call it, okay? And one of those is, let's say, here's my birth certificate, that sort of thing. I mean, we've heard this time and time again. You want your child to play Little League, he's got to have a birth certificate, and, the list is endless. But the point is that he hasn't seen fit to do that, so he's got all these different people investigating and doing this and doing that, and people flying all over the place trying to figure out where he's born, because he doesn't just present a simple piece of evidence to put that issue to rest. So that's why we're still there, and we have, of course, Sheriff Arpaio and Mike Zullo and Carl Gallup, pursuing the aspect which is the place of birth, okay? The other important part is citizen parents. my definition of a natural-born citizen, and when I say mine, I don't mean mine, Mario Puzo's, but what I have confirmed, which has existed for, you know, since time immemorial, you also have to be born in the country to citizen parents. Obama was not born to two citizen parents because you need two. If you have one, you're still born with a foreign allegiance. You know, you could be born to one or born to two. If you're born to two, if they happen to be from the same country, okay, you just got one additional allegiance. You could have parents from two different countries, plus born in America, you'll have three allegiances. In the United States, from being born here under the 14th Amendment, then you have the allegiance of your mother and also of your father. That's three different allegiances. Now, no way did the founding fathers hold that you could be born to alien foreigner parents and you could be a natural born citizen. And we can get into that. I'm going to just stop right at this point so I can give you a chance to ask me some questions. But that's the thing in a nutshell, so that it's in perspective as to the issue is natural born citizen. It's not birth certificate or where he's born. It's natural born citizen. It has two components. One is the place of birth, which again, that's like Sheriff Arpaio. He's pursuing place of birth. I pursue both place of birth and citizen parents. Okay, go ahead, Mike.
When you say allegiance, Mario, if I'm not mistaken, that was put in there to make sure, let's substitute influence for allegiance. Let's say you had parents that were born in another country, even though you were born on the soil, or had one parent born in another country and you were born on the soil and your mother was here, that possibly one of your parents still could have an influence on your bringing up and have a influence on that because they were born in another country. And allegiance and influence, would you say that goes hand in hand in this situation?
Yeah. Well, allegiance translates to influence. Okay.
Right.
And allegiance is a word that goes back. I mean, it was heavily used in the British common law, allegiance to the king, allegiance. But it comes from Latin, alianza, which basically it means to be tied. Allegare, okay, means to tie, okay? So basically what you're saying is you're tied to something or someone. And when you have allegiance from birth, you're tied from birth. So and when you're tied to something, that thing influences you, you see? So that's why allegiance, our citizenship has always been based on allegiance, always. The 14th Amendment made things, looser, let's use that word, where we were willing to accept children born in America to alien parents and simply say, they were born subject to our laws, and therefore they're born subject to our jurisdiction, and therefore they satisfy the 14th Amendment, which makes them citizens of the United States. Now, I said citizens of the United States. I didn't say natural-born citizens. If you look at Article 2, a citizen of the United States was eligible if you were born, before or up to the time of the adoption of the Constitution. Okay, you were a citizen of the United States, which basically meant you could be any kind of citizen, naturalized, any kind of which way, by the Revolution. But after that, you had to be a natural-born citizen. They were the children born to the citizens. If you go back and study the law of nature and natural law, a society is created by its first members. They are your first citizens. The natural born are the children, the descendants of those who create that society. Okay. Now, our founders didn't limit it to just descendants. I mean, I don't have to be a descendant off the Mayflower type thing. We also have naturalization. So we could have more citizens come in. They become citizens of the United States. Now, I didn't say natural-born citizens. They become citizens. Their children become natural-born citizens, born here. And it's all tied to the notion of allegiance. Why do you think they said only for the president you had to be a natural-born citizen? I mean, just there's so much common sense to this. Why did they say that for a congressman or for a judge or for a senator? Because they're collegial bodies, collegial meaning, many, many people sit there. Where the president is a unique office. You have one, the singular office. It has both civil and military powers, which are great powers. And that one person, the founder says, look, that person's got to have, you know, this special type of allegiance, born with it. Now, there's no magic to that. It's not like somebody's going to say, oh, well, you know, what is this, some kind of witchcraft or something? You know, you got to be born with this allegiance. No, it's just all it is a test. That it's just like citizenship. You know, what does it mean to be an American citizen? How come an American citizen is an American citizen and somebody from Germany, is, let's say, is a German citizen? You know, is that magic? Is that witchcraft? No. Okay? It's just based on, you know, certain rules that we've had ever since civilized society. Are we always going to have citizenship in the future? I don't know. You know, are we going to have a one world order where, you know, it's like the whole planet is like just one people? We don't need citizenship anymore. So, but we have it today. We still have it. And again, it's based on who your parents are and where you're born. And there's all kinds of different citizenships throughout the world. But in America, Constitution is clear. Either you're a natural born citizen or you're a citizen of the United States. There's no other. That's it. And the natural born are the ones born here, the citizen parents. All the rest are citizens of the United States. That includes 14th Amendment, Acts of Congress, treaties, naturals, you know, everything else. Go ahead, Mike.
Mario, if you remember, they dragged John McCain when he was running for presidency in 2008 before the Senate and made him show his birth certificate. And I don't know, you know, John McCain wasn't born in the United States. He was born on a military base in Panama. They dragged him before the Senate. What's your take on that?
Okay, first of all, I want to be very clear that, in my opinion, John McCain is a natural-born citizen. Now, you're probably saying, well, wait a minute. Now, hold on here. You just said you got to be born in the country, right? That's right. You got to be born in the country. However, there's an exception to what that means, born in the country. If you go back to Vattel, okay, wrote a treatise, The Law of Nations, in 1758. Section 217 of that treatise addresses that particular point, that if you're born in the armies of the state, okay, in other words, your parents are serving the national defense, it doesn't matter where you are born. In other words, all this talk about, oh, was it a submarine base? Was it the hospital, the military hospital? Was it Panama proper? It doesn't matter. He was born to two U.S. citizen parents who were serving the national interest. They were in the military, the Navy. John McCain is a natural-born citizen. Why? Because even though he's born out of the country physically, he's reputed born in the country, reputed born, because his parents never intended to be there in Panama, you know, to quit. They didn't quit their country. They weren't even domiciled there. They were there serving the military. They're still considered to be, like, in their country. And then when he's born to them, he's born to citizen parents in the country. So he's a natural-born citizen. Now, that was not the argument that was used by Tribe and Olson. They fudged with this thing about, whether that was a military territory belonging to the United States. And, you know, they were kind of like fudging with that. And then there was a big cry over it saying, oh, he wasn't born in a military hospital. He was born in Panama proper. So that's where all that confusion comes in. But there's no need for that because he was born, again, to citizen parents serving the armies of the state. He's born considered born in the country to citizen parents. He's a natural-born citizen.
Well, you know, it comes down to allegiance. You just know John McCain's history. You knew his father. He was an admiral. You knew his mother. They were American people, American citizens. His father served in the military. McCain was born on a military base in Panama. They were still American citizens. They had their allegiance to the United States of America. Past presidents, you never had a question their allegiance, where they were born, their families, what their families did. They were governors, senators, whatever they were. They had a tie to the United States. There was never a question. Now comes along Barry Sortero. You've got Barry Sortero, who goes to Pakistan in 1980, comes back with a different name, has two other different names, and now we have this question about where his allegiance is. It's mind-boggling. There's just too many questions going on. And people want to say, why do we want to know? Why do we want to see the truth? We want to see who his parents are. We want to find out exactly where his allegiance is. Do you follow me, Mario?
Yeah. Now, something that has to be said clearly on this, okay? If you're born in the United States, to citizen parents, you're a natural-born citizen. And being a natural-born citizen, you could travel to 100 countries. You could have allegiances. Now, when I say allegiances, I don't mean from birth, but later on that you adopt. You know, you could be a total traitor in the sense that you don't believe in American values and you don't believe this and you don't believe that. And, you know, you're a communist and you're a socialist. You could be anything you want. You're still a natural-born citizen. You see? You're still a natural-born citizen. So I'm not faulting Obama because he went to Pakistan, he went to here, he went there. Okay, now, that raises a question going back to place of birth. Because, you know, if he's traveling on a foreign passport and to be able to do this, then, of course, that raises that issue, you see? But it's not a question that a natural-born citizen is supposed to stay put in America and you can't go around and have different, you know, philosophical views and political views. You could have anything you want. The only thing you got to be is, again, natural-born citizen, 35 years old, 14 years of resident, and then, of course, you're in the political realm at that point. You know, you've got to present yourself to the people, and your adversary is going to say, oh, look at this guy. This guy's a real kook. You know, he's got all these crazy ideas. But that's political. That's not a legal argument. So I want to make sure that's clear that, you know, nobody's saying that, you know, you can't go around and have ideas and what have you. Just, you know, but as a minimum, you've got to be eligible.
Mario, I have Commander Charles Kirshner on hold. I'm going to bring him on the air in a minute or two. I want to ask you a question. In your fighting this in the court systems, I know attorneys rely on case precedent a lot, so the courts can look at case precedent and see if this has ever happened before. Did you ever present any kind of precedent in your briefs or anything like that?
Oh, my God. I have a wealth of precedent, not only legal precedent, but I also have historical precedent. I mean, what I presented in my briefs, you go back to the Bible. The Bible talks about who the Israelis were going to appoint as their king. Go back to the Greeks and to the Romans. Okay, you start there. I mean, that's where natural born citizen all starts. And then from there, you know, I've presented evidence, you know, where the clause itself, natural-born citizen, was actually used in Latin text, you know, coming out of the Roman Empire. And then all the different natural law philosophers, you know, John Locke, he was on board, so to speak. You know, he didn't believe in forcing allegiance upon anybody. You had to be, you know, born and you know, everything was consent with him, and it went through the parents. You know, John Locke.
Mario, has this ever been challenged before in the courts of the United States to another candidate?
No, there's been natural-born challenges to other candidates. There's been like over a half a dozen of them, and that's what I always tell people when they say, "Oh, you're a racist." How come you're challenging Obama? I said, "What do you mean I'm a racist?" You know, this is a legitimate issue. I mean, even Romney's father going, you know, he's the closest one, I guess, that we can go back to. Was it George Romney?
Yes.
But there's more. I mean, Chester Arthur is a great example, you know, but he was not a natural-born citizen. But you've got a lot of different historical figures, over a half a dozen of them were challenged. But, just going back real quickly, there's a lot of different, a precedent that I've presented to the court. You know, you get into, like I said, I'm not going to, you know, give you a whole list here, but you go into the natural law philosophers, then you make your way down to the founders themselves and the law of nations, how they use the law of nations for what they did, and that's where the definition comes out of. Then you've got Chief Justice John Marshall in the Venus. He actually cites Vattel and cites his definition of it. That's like 1814. You've got, you know, Vattel was taught at the law school, College of William and Mary, in 1779. They actually taught his definition of a natural born citizen. I mean, you know, James Wilson, David Ramsey, these were all founders. They all came out with, you know, you got to be, you know, to citizen parents, you got to be born there. The debates in Congress in 1789 with William Smith, they actually cited Vattel and his definition of a citizen. St. George Tucker, who's the American Blackstone, he said that the right to hold office only belonged to children of citizens, which included, of course, the right to be president. That's George Tucker, America's one of the greatest legal thinkers. He said, you know, the only person that gets a right to hold office is children of citizens. You know, then you make your way down. I mean, there's a lot of different things like the Naturalization Act. But again, I said John Marshall. Then you have the great case of Inglis in 1830. You have Shanks in 1830. You have the infamous Dred Scott case. But in dissent, concurrence, Justice Daniels defines uses Vattel. And defines it, you know, born in the country, the citizen parents. Then you've got the great Minor case in 1875. The unanimous Supreme Court said, born in the country, the citizen parents. That's the unanimous U.S. Supreme Court. Then, of course, you have Wong Kim Ark, which the Obama supporters, they tried to use that to try to tell us that Obama's a natural-born citizen. The case confirmed the definition of a natural-born citizen, confirmed it. I actually cited Vattel, Minor, and Wong. All Wong did was say, look, okay, this guy is a citizen of the United States. You know, his parents are aliens. Never touched the natural-born citizen definition, confirmed it, just expanded who could be a citizen at birth under the 14th Amendment. Never changed the definition of it. And basically, you know, it really stops with Wong Kim Ark because then the rest of the cases – you know, that we have really don't get into that kind of like philosophical and historical type thing. But so you asked me, are there precedent? I mean, I've tried to give you a quick a list here. I've left a lot of stuff out, but I just wanted to get the flavor of what I've presented to the courts.
Thank you very much. And what you said at the beginning is when people start saying, well, George Romney, Mitt Romney's father, and this person and that person had parents that would want, that's just distractions to distract from what the truth is. Mario, I am going to bring on Commander Charles Kirshner, retired, who's been an advocate at this, who's actually been in the courts. I know you're familiar with him, who's fought for this, who still continuously fights today, maintains and writes a blog. And with that, I'm going to bring him on the air and welcome Commander Charles Kirshner.
Good evening, gentlemen. How you doing, Mike? How you doing, Mario?
Hello. Can I call you Charlie?
You may. We
just
Mario and I. Mario brought my lawsuit, Mike. As you may remember, we know each other very, very well.
Yes.
Yes, I remember.
And Commander Kirchner and I, we did a lot of radio shows together. So this is like we're back in time here. We're on again together. So it's a great moment.
Correct.
That's great.
I was listening to Mario present his arguments, and the what I used to say classically when we got to, well, what has Obama presented in the way of documentation? I say, well, you know, you couldn't take a laptop computer and show a digital image to the passport office and say, issue me a passport. I mean, that's all we got, a digital image on a laptop computer. That's not evidence.
No, it's not.
Especially since the Zulu and Sheriff Arpaio have proven the digital image is an absolute forgery. Manufactured document.
Yeah, and exactly. I mean, again, it goes back to this point. Where is he born? You know, what kind of burden does he have? He wants to be president. Of course, you know, Commander says it exactly. I mean, come on. You're going to present an electronic image as your proof, in an official sense. We're talking about an official, because he's been challenged officially. Now, if nobody ever said anything, nobody ever did anything, okay, yeah, maybe, you know, you can get away with that kind of thing. But because there were so many different questions about, you know, where he was born and it wasn't clear, then it became an official question, and it has to be decided in an official manner. And you don't put things to bed by showing somebody, an electronic image. So that's what Commander's saying.
And
I don't know if you were listening to the beginning of the show.
Yeah, I've been listening to the whole show, and I just wanted to say something about allegiance. It should be noted to the audience that when a person naturalizes, they have to swear sole allegiance to this country. Is that correct, Mario?
That's correct.
So they have to renounce any foreign influences and allegiances.
Yes, that's correct. You know, this notion of oaths and things, this has been around ever since, oh my God, I mean, so many, you know, thousands of years it's been around, the, you know, giving an oath. There's something about giving an oath. And here's something interesting. When you go to court and you have to, you know, you swear to tell the truth, that's sort of like an oath, you know, on the Bible. You know, I mean, you don't have to swear, you can affirm. But there's something about going through that process. And like Charlie says, you know, we have that with naturalization, you know, and the founders, they used that in the Revolutionary War. You had to give an oath. If you didn't give an oath, they said, oh, you're a traitor. You know, they got you for treason if you didn't, you know, and they can just come up and ask you, you know, give us an oath that you support, you know, the revolutionary cause.
And you had to renounce the king. You had to not only swear allegiance to the United States, but you had to renounce any prior allegiance to King George.
Yeah. It's real. And here's something I want to add to what Charlie says. Now this is really strange. A naturalized citizen has to give an oath that he or she renounces all you know, foreign allegiances, connections, what have you. Okay. Now take somebody who's born in the United States to alien parents under the 14th Amendment, under the you know, the liberal interpretation of that, where the Juan King Mark says, oh no, that guy's a citizen, right? Now here's that guy born here, and he's got double allegiances, and never swore those allegiances off, never did. Okay, so he can, you know, grow up and he's got 2-3 countries, you know, loyal to all two of them or all, you know, all three of them.
If he gets in trouble here, Mario, he can skip to the other country because he's a citizen there.
Yeah. Never swore anything off. He can go anywhere he wants, skip around like exactly, right? You know, you've got like a European passport, you go to Cuba type thing, okay? Mm-hmm. And then when you're back in America, oh yeah, now I'm an American. But yet, you know, we make naturalized citizens swear off allegiances. But under this you know, expansive view under Juan K. Mark, you can have these, you know, these citizens born with different allegiances.
Now, John Jay, when he wrote a letter to George Washington, specifically didn't want the president to have dual or multiple allegiances. He didn't want any foreign influence. Foreign influence, as you said earlier in the show, goes to allegiance on the president, on the president's office, because he would be commander-in-chief of the military. And he wanted a person there with no foreign influence on him by birth or otherwise, and that the only way you can get that is you're a natural-born citizen, legally a natural-born citizen born in the country of two American citizen parents. Otherwise, you're going to have multiple allegiances, and you don't meet that test of having no foreign influence. John Jay wrote that to George Washington. George Washington put it in the Constitution.
Commander,
correct, Mario?
Yeah. And remember, you and I, we focus on that word strong.
Yes, that's right. The adjective was one of the strong check against foreign influence. You know, the strongest check against foreign influence is a natural-born citizen. Now, you know, that's just the three litmus tests in the Constitution, the three basic qualifications, you know, 14-year residence, 35 years old, and a natural-born citizen. Everything else goes to politics. But you had to be qualified under the Constitution. You can't just throw the Constitution out because there's a reason that term is in there. There's a reason that legal term of art is in there, because he's commander-in-chief or military, and you wouldn't want to have a president in a Cuban Missile Crisis who is ready to launch a missile strike against Russia if his father was a Russian citizen still living in Moscow.
I couldn't agree more. And don't forget, the country was just being formed. It was new back then. There was a lot of protections that were in place for that.
Oh, yeah. And they were worried after the founding generation was gone that some foreign influence would creep in again with money and power. And that's exact. Obama is a living representation of what they feared.
Gentlemen, Commander, I know you're going to probably stay with me for the entire show till 9 o'clock. And, Mario, I had you scheduled till 8:15, where I have Terry Lakin on. But right now I have a special guest that is waiting and patient. And she has, I don't know how much recognition she has been given, but I'm going to give her recognition tonight.
Can I just ask one second first, Mike? Can Mario put out his blog, and can I put out my blog address so people can go and read more about what he has to say?
You can give all your information out, where it's located, what Mario's blog is. I actually have a link.
Mario, we'll give
I
you your blog.
I have a link on my website, wheresobamasbirthcertificate.com. It says Mario Puzo. It's in the right-hand corner. It brings both to your blog, Commander,
right,
and to Mario's blog. But you
can we get it in the audio, Mario? You go first. Your blog. Mario's still there?
I hope he is.
Well, anyway, his blog is puzo1.blogspot.com. Puzo, P-U-Z-O, number 1.blogspot.com. My website is protectourliberty.org, protectourliberty.org, the our, O-U-R in the middle there. And my blog is commanderkirchner.wordpress.com. It's CDR, the abbreviation for commander, CDR Kirchner, K-E-R-C-H-N-E-R, .wordpress.com. Thank you, Mike. I just wanted to get it in so that anybody listening wants to find out more, then you can go read it.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
hello?
Mario, I don't know what happened. Yes, we're here.
Yeah, somebody, there was a woman on the line or something, but okay, anyway, I don't want to waste time with that. Go ahead.
That's probably my call screener.
Okay.
I'd like to welcome to the show, at this time, Attorney Karen Kiefer. Karen, welcome to the show.
Oh, boy, this is like old Holmes. Class reunion. Karen was my lawyer in my ballot challenge in Pennsylvania. Hi, Karen.
Hello. I recognize the voices. It was my honor to represent Charles Kirchner. He is a retired Navy commander and a son of the American Revolution, and he was my plaintiff in the ballot challenge that we brought here in Pennsylvania to Obama's eligibility to be on our ballot.
And Mario wrote a brief in support of our action. So this is a great crew we have here.
Hello, Karen. How are you? Great to
good,
be with
Mario.
You.
Thank you. My pleasure. My honor. So, one of the reasons.
I remember back when that ballot challenge was posted, it wasn't as big a fight as it is today. And I remember when the news conference came out, when Karen was there and you were there, Commander, and you gave that news conference, and we were all waiting and hoping that something would have been done then, and then when you came out with the bad news, it was just heartbreaking. And that's why I have Karen on today, because I know she's working very hard on this also. Go ahead, Karen. I'm sorry.
Well, yes, we brought the ballot challenge because and one of the reasons I took the case is the commander's roots and allegiance to this country go very deep, as do mine. He is a son of the American Revolution, and I am a daughter of the American Revolution. And I know the commander took an oath to defend this country and its Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and he sees a problem, and I do too, because we are a country that's supposed to stand for the rule of law, not the rule of men, but I think that the rule of men has come to prevail these days. We brought the ballot challenge, and yes, we were thrown out, not, of course, not because our case was not absolutely an ironclad case. It was. We had a list of witnesses, and Mario Puzo's brief was excellent, but it was just on a technicality. There's a law, a statute in Pennsylvania under the Elections and Electoral the Elections Code that says that anybody running for president of the United States does not have to file an affidavit certifying that he is eligible for the office that he is seeking. Now, everybody else in Pennsylvania, from dog catcher on up, has to file an affidavit, and in their affidavit for the office that they are seeking, they have to say that they are eligible for such an office and that they would not willingly violate provision of the Act, meaning that they would not state that they were eligible when, in fact, they knew they were not. But the last sentence in that statute also indicates that the candidate for the nomination of president of the United States, it is not necessary for such candidate to file this affidavit. So the court said that they could not hear the case because the issue was moot as to them. So but they didn't. We never got to the merits of our case. It was thrown out for lack of jurisdiction.
Can I just interject something real quick there, Karen? And I just want to
sure,
make a little joke, okay, if I may. The Pennsylvania statute doesn't say that the president has to be a natural-born citizen, okay? That's what Karen said, right?
But, right?
But I guess the Constitution doesn't say that either.
You're making a little joke there, Mariel.
Right. Did you understand what I said?
Yes. Yes, I did. Yeah, right.
In other words, you know, we just forgot about the Constitution, that the Constitution says you got to be a natural-born citizen.
Right.
That's right. Well, you know, Mario, it is a living, breathing document, so why should we worry?
And the political parties have emasculated the states, and all the checks and balances over the years. They've emasculated the Electoral College, and they also, with this law, have eliminated the states' ability to have citizens prove that they are natural born or any other constitutional requirement. They just as long as the political parties don't object, nobody can do anything.
That's right, and those ballot challenges were brought across the 50 states, from Maine to Alaska, California to Florida. Pennsylvania was not the only one. So you know, I mean, something was wrong.
Well, I'll tell you, Mike, Mario and Karen are my heroes, because I asked many, many attorneys to take these cases for me, and most of them were, well, what should I say, cowards. They wouldn't do it. Well, these two people have courage, they're patriots, they live up to their oath, they take an oath to the Constitution too, and I was proud to have them represent me.
Well,
and that's
you.
Why
and
they're
I'm
on the show tonight.
Thank you. I was listening to some of the conversation earlier and the problem of divided allegiance, and certainly our president does have divided allegiance, and why were our framers concerned about that? Well, you know, because they knew that the time would come if we had a president who had divided allegiance, who would perhaps substantially cut back on our military defense abilities and bow to foreign nations and apologize for America and further weaken our defenses. And instead of affirming the sovereignty of America, seek and encourage the subjugation of America to the rule of other nations, like the U.N.
And maybe the
president would not protect our borders from unlawful invasion, but instead encourage it and not stand strong in support for and with our allies and not even identify the enemy, refuse to clearly identify the enemies and censor those who want to do so or attempt to do so. And so for various reasons,
And who wants to be a soldier or sailor in a field not knowing the true allegiance of your commander-in-chief, having questions about his allegiance?
I don't know how you could serve those conditions.
I want to remind everybody listening now that we're going to have Dr. Terry Lakin on at 8:15 this evening. I have a caller on the line that's been holding patiently. My call screener has been telling me that she has a question for you. I'm going to bring her on the line. I happen to know her. She's been a loyal supporter and been with me since day one. Her name is Ann, and with that, I'm going to bring her on the air for just a minute because it is a call-in show also.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to welcome Ann to the show. Welcome, Ann.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Fine, thank you. You have a question?
Yes, I do. Actually, I have quite a bit of a question, but also a statement. I understand everything everyone has done. My issue is this. I am out here in the real world, so to speak, and you're losing people constantly that don't believe anything is ever going to become of this, that he is going to be out of office long before anything is done to him. Can you give us a timeline when you think some action could possibly happen?
Well, nothing will happen if we don't keep trying, and that's what I know I'm doing, and I'm sure Mario is doing, and I'm sure Karen is doing. We're trying. What else can we do? The court systems and Congress have turned a blind eye to this. The earlier statements that people in Congress didn't know about this, well, they may not have known about the ironclad evidence that Detective Zulu has presented, but believe me, they knew about this issue because I and people like me wrote to every single member of Congress in 2008, 2009. There were petitions with hundreds of thousands of signatures presented to them in boxes by WorldNet Daily. I mean, for them to say they don't know anything about it, that's a bald-faced political tap dance. Now,
so
I can have them. They can say
public.
They don't know about Zulu's evidence. They can say that, but they don't. They can't say they don't know about the questions about Obama's eligibility and his forged documents. The original short form certification of live birth was also forged back in 2008. So those people in Congress are giving people a little bit of a lot of tap dancing. Go ahead, Andy.
Here's what my question is.
Let Karen answer.
Okay.
Yes, I have done as Commander Kirchner indicated. I have also written to my local congressman. I wrote him back in April of 2012 about the election law violations and usurpations, and I provided him with a DVD of the evidence supporting that. I followed up with a letter in July of this year, on the 9th of July of this year. Showing that there was additional evidence to support a congressional inquiry into the identity of the occupant in the White House. And so I would encourage you, call, write, get your groups, your family, your friends, your Tea Party, your 912 groups to call and write their congressperson and request a congressional inquiry into the identity of this occupant in the White House, because we don't know who he is.
And I totally support Detective Zulu's work. I totally support what he's doing.
Yes,
It should turn out like the Al Capone. We'll get him on the crime, we'll get him on the tax evasion, not the murder. We probably can get Obama on the forged documents and not his lack of eligibility. But once that house of cards falls, we'll get everything else addressed.
Right. So please be in touch with your congressional representative.
I have, I do, trust me. They're really not interested.
Don't give up, Ann. Don't give up.
No.
People are trying. Just because we don't get immediate satisfaction doesn't mean you should stop trying. Keep trying.
So how do we get this out, say, on national news? Can't we get Rand Paul, Ted Cruz?
The national media has caused this problem. They've shut us down. Mario and I have tried to get on national media dozens of times. They will not put us on because we're too we have too much facts on the issue. They rather put on people that they can just ridicule. They don't want to put on people that can stand their ground and give them the facts and the law like Mario can, like Karen can.
I have one more question. Has Fox turned you guys down also?
Yes.
Fox has also.
Sure.
Oh, they're complicit. And you probably weren't on in the beginning of the show when I had Paul Gallup on, and I announced that this week we're starting a campaign. It's called the Sheriff's Kit. We're going to offer all the DVDs that the sheriff had at his conference, the one taking apart the Force Birth Certificate, showing the abnormalities in it, the Selective Service Stamp, and everything that Lieutenant Mike Zulu has to offer. And I have an affidavit here that Mike Zulu has supplied to Alabama Supreme Court, and we're going to offer that to people. We either mail it to them, mail it to their congressman. We're urging everybody to have a one-on-one meeting with their congressman. Call. Don't give them any information on the phone because you'll never get past the receptionist. I want to have a meeting with my congressman. Walk into their office. I'm having a meeting this Wednesday with my congressman, and I'm going with all this information, and I'm going to ask them for an answer and a response. I'm not going to follow up like this, no, tomorrow. And I asked Carl this question. Why hasn't anybody gotten out there on Fox News and grabbed the microphone and said we had a problem? It's not conducive to Fox News. They've been silenced for whatever reason. And Mike Zulu has gone into this, has said that he's known several people that have come forward and said that if I say anything, I'll be fired. So this week we're going to start a campaign on the website, wheresobamasbirthcertificate.com, where people can go to their congressman. We're going to compile a list of all the congressmen names that have seen the information so we can communicate to each one of them. This one has seen it, and this one, and this one. We're doing it one at a time. Carl just told me to the audience tonight that Mike had been called back to Washington to revisit another congressman who wants to see the information. It is happening. It is happening one person at a time. And it's saying right now we need a grassroots effort to make this happen, man.
Well, you have me. You know that, Mike. You just let me know when we need to get those kits ready and when we need to get them sent out.
Another issue that's going on here, Ann, is appeasement by the Congress. They think that they need to protect the American people from themselves by ignoring the Constitution and not addressing this, because there's whispers in the background that if this was exposed and Obama was removed, that he would incite a race war.
Well,
that's what they're saying
down
there. Now, that's the Neville Chamberlain approach to dealing with a tyrant. You see,
correct.
You know what Chamberlain got by dealing with, by appeasing Hitler? Tens of millions
of
people died.
Exactly. And my brothers and my father and my grandfathers didn't fight to save this country from people like him. Only to see
but
it
our
go
Congress
down
right now is dealing with the Obama issue, his eligibility, and the issues of the criminal fraud of his Social Security number, his birth certificates, plural, long and short form, and the forged draft registration, by ignoring it because they think it's for the betterment of the country to not let the other side lead us into a race war, because they won't go. That's the way the communists and the socialist progressives react when their position is
correct.
They go to violence.
Correct. Well, they just haven't come up enough against enough patriots. Angry as we are, we've had enough. You know, it's time to take back our country. And
well, our Congress thinks they're being parents to us by keeping us, by protecting us from this disaster that could happen. Baloney.
I only have one set of parents.
The Constitution is the only glue that holds this country together. We lose the Constitution, we've lost the country and everything else.
I totally agree, sir. Has anybody had any touch with our military? I mean, how is our military responding to this? They're supposed to take action against a tyrant and a takeover of our country. Why aren't more military stepping forward?
I took an oath to the Constitution as a commissioned officer to only support and defend the Constitution. There's nothing in there about the president or anything else, and that's what I am trying to do as a retired officer, and Terry Lakin, former Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin, tried to do as a commissioned active duty officer. Look what they did to him. They put him in prison. They forgot about the training they gave us on the Nuremberg defense. I was trained as a commissioned officer, and so was Colonel Lakin, that you're not supposed to follow orders if they're unconstitutional or illegal. So we tried to stand up.
Lakin
now, he stood up
Lakin
and he was put in prison.
Lakin is scheduled to be on the show this evening.
He was
and
put
see,
in
my
prison.
Issue with that?
Now,
why didn't we as Americans take absolute paranoid type behavior towards what they did to that man? They crucified
because
him.
The media did not cover it. They covered this other private guy who disclosed all these military secrets in Iraq. He's a media hero. Know why? Because he's for the alternative agendas that they're all pursuing in the media and Obama and his enablers to corrupt and ruin the culture of this country and bring it down. He's our hero, but Lieutenant Colonel Lakin standing up for the Constitution is not, because they want to destroy the Constitution. Because the Constitution says there's limits to federal government. That's what the Constitution does. It limits the power of the federal government. And they don't like that.
And that's what we should do as people of this country. We should absolutely 100% get behind each other and take back this country.
Right. And get behind Detective
yes.
Zulu and stop expecting things to happen tomorrow, but keep working on this. Sooner or later, the dam's going to break. It's starting to leak a little bit now, and they're not going to be able to hold this on much longer. It's we just got to keep hammering away at it. It's the truth is going to come out.
Do you have any other military support? I mean, are there any active military people that are ready for this coup that's going to happen?
Well, sure. There was this other fellow who was put in a mental hospital. They stand up. See, the problem is the media makes sure that nobody knows about these incidents. This one guy here and one. They keep it all compartmentalized. The media does not allow the American public to know if a military person here stands up or not. So it's the exact role reversal of yellow journalism. You know what yellow journalism is?
Absolutely.
That's when the media stirs up the passions of the people. In our case, the passions of the people is being hidden and suppressed. The media is making this into just a big conspiracy theory instead of it being a real conspiracy, a seditious conspiracy to overthrow our country from within.
Absolutely. And
go ahead. I really think that we need to have a full-blown congressional investigation because President Obama campaigned on this transparency idea, and yet he has been the opposite. He's the most untransparent president ever. He's never revealed his school records, his adoption records, anything that's relative to his true identity. And I'm sure you've seen the bumper sticker.
You didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
He's a community organizer who gets action by rubbing the passions of the people raw. He was going to bring racial harmony to post-racial America. He's done more to divide this country on racial lines than anybody in my lifetime.
Right.
Absolutely.
When they do start a congressional investigation, it is going to be very interesting because these are crimes that this man has committed.
Oh, yes.
But here's my issue.
Criminal activity. It's not civil. Our ballot challenge was civil, but this is what we're talking about is criminal activity.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't think our current Congress is going to do a thing about it. Boehner is a piece of waste of time, and he should be the one calling the shots right now and doing all this. And until we can get rid of Boehner, I don't think we have a snowball chance of getting Congress to act on this.
I'm going to respond to that, Ann. I've been in contact with Zulu. I'm in contact with him on a semi-daily basis. Yes, we do know that John Boehner has failed to look at this for whatever reason. We're bringing it to one congressman at a time. You see Zulu, he's in and out of Washington, D.C. We have Steve Stockman on our side right now. Karen had mentioned two letters that she wrote April 2nd, 2012, and a follow-up letter on July 9, 2012. Mm-hmm. I have copies in my hand. When I go see my congressman this Wednesday, I'm going to present these, and I'm going to say, look, I have other people that have asked their congressman the same question and have failed to get a response. We elected you. We require a response. We want you to do your job. I'm going to bring the DVDs that are all laid out from the sheriff's news conference, along with the affidavit that Zulu has prepared for the Alabama Supreme Court, and I'm going to ask them to read this. Any normal, logical person would reasonably come to a conclusion that there's a forged birth certificate being put out by the White House. That's how we have to pursue it, Ann. If we're going to wait for the media to suddenly take a hold of this and jump on board, it's not going to happen. Right now, there's a movement in Congress. There is, and in the past couple of years, there's been nothing. It's been slow. At the beginning, we had websites. Mario got involved. Charles went and got Karen on his side because Mario couldn't represent Charles in Pennsylvania. That went nowhere because the courts got scared. The judges don't want to move on it. But now we have a congressional movement right now, and now's the time to have a grassroots movement, and that's what I'm doing right now. And that's the way it has to go, one congressman at a time.
You're right.
Well,
and also, I think all the scandals surrounding Obama at this point in time make it even more ripe, so to speak. It's not just the birth certificate.
The
it's the IRS. It's the NSA. It's Benghazi. It's Solyndra. It's the EPA and all the other scandals.
Fast and furious.
Or in totality, are grounds for impeachment and so, or at least a congressional investigation.
All we got to do is get a hook on a congressional investigation on one of these forged documents, just any one of
them.
Correct. And the whole house of cards is going down because none of these documents could stand 5 minutes of examination in any court of law.
And what are our chances of getting that to happen?
Well, it's not going to happen if we don't try and give up, Ann. I keep telling you that. We're trying. You keep trying. Just don't get defeated. Just don't say that nothing's happening and it'd be a negative commentary. Or we got to keep trying. It'll only happen if we try. Persistence.
Right. Mike, where did you say that Ann could get that sheriff's kit?
Okay, the sheriff's kit, I'm going right now on my website, on the homepage, wheresobamasbirthcertificate.com.
Yes.
The only thing I have on the homepage are the videos. I have no advertisements or anything. So you can download them there. If you have a YouTube downloader, you can click on the videos and download them through YouTube, or you can contact me through the contact form on the website, and I'll supply the DVDs to you. I don't have the affidavit available for download yet. It will be on the website tomorrow so the public can download it. And it's a 57-page affidavit.
Sworn affidavit under oath submitted to the Supreme Court of Alabama. So if Zulu was not telling the truth about anything, he committed perjury. So if he's committed, let the O-Butts out there go after Zulu and charge him with perjury if they think that he is lying to the court. Because he's telling the truth, and he has a certified court document examiner to back him up.
So what you're saying is that Ann could go to the website and download this and take that information to her representative and ask for a congressional inquiry.
Yes.
Okay.
You might not meet with your congressman. They might be dodging the bullet. Meet with their chief of staff, which I'm going to do Wednesday. Request a face-to-face meeting, but Ann, you have to get your foot in the door. Don't bother calling their receptionist. You won't get anywhere. Don't try to convince the receptionist that there's a problem. I want to request the meeting. Do it the official way. Once you get in the congressman's office, you lay all the information out, and you're going to ask for a response.
But one thing, Mike, I listened to Carl Gallup early on. The congressman's claiming they don't know anything about this. What if his staff is not telling them about these meetings? What if his staff is still like in a five-year-old mentality, I'm gonna buffer this from the congressman because it's just it's a bunch of malarkey. What if the staff is part of the problem?
Which is true. It is. It's part of the big problem because when you have congressional workers, they're just looking out for themselves and their paycheck. If this happens to come down the pike and they all get in trouble for it, they're not gonna take it to the higher up.
Well, a congressman can say it's plausible deniability. Well, my staff never told me.
Correct.
How are you going to get that staff chief, Mike, to make sure he gives your evidence to the congressman and the congressman looks at it?
That's a great question, Charles, and this is what I've been thinking about, and this is how I'm going to handle it. I'm going to follow up with a phone call, and if I don't get an answer, I'm going to follow up with another phone call, and if I don't get an answer, I'm going to request a second meeting. And if I don't get an answer at the second meeting, I'm going to request a third meeting and a fourth meeting. And like I said earlier, we're going to tie this all together. We're going to have a list of all the congressmen that this information has been presented to and put them all together. So when one sees another one's on board and another one's on board, we're going to try to get this thing going. But my answer to that is I'm going to follow up with a phone call and follow up with another phone call and follow up with another one.
My congressman, Charlie Dent, he's Charlie Dent, he's my congressman. He was actually named in my lawsuit back in early 2009 for a lack of response to me.
Yes.
Hey, Mike, what about taking cameras in with you? Like, have someone record the whole meeting so that you have proof on tape that you actually presented this?
I'm going to take a picture, but I don't know about recording
Get the chief of staff to at least promise you that he will present this to the congressman and the congressman will read it.
And I'm going to follow. I'm going to keep following up.
And they all have date stamps. You know, you can ask them to date stamp your copy so you know when you gave it to them, and then you can walk away from their office with a stamp on your paper showing what you presented and when.
So you say take two copies along, one that he stamps,
right,
one he stamps them both, and you keep
stamp
one of them. That's
so that,
a good
that's
idea.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. That's a positive step, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, Mike, let me know when you need me to help you with the tips, and we'll get moving on this. And you're absolutely right. The only way is to continue to knock on doors.
Great. We cannot. They're counting on us to get tired and go away. They're counting on us to do that. We doesn't let them get what they want.
And remember
well,
what
I have
Ben
no
Franklin
intention.
Said. Remember what Benjamin Franklin said. He said that, a republic is a very difficult thing to keep. that they had given us a republic if we can keep it, but it's difficult because it depends for its lifeblood on a just and godly judicial system, and we haven't seen that in our judicial system. It's supposed to be based on the rule of law and not the rule of men,
it's turned into an arm of the political party. The judges are nothing but political party.
That's exactly right.
Can I ask one last question?
Yes, and I have another caller waiting. Go ahead, Ann.
Okay, what do you guys think about the Chief Justices and their rulings and, you know, how it's affected our country's constitutional being? How do we fix that?
I think they have dirt on Chief Justice Roberts. That's why he ruled on Obamacare the way he did. I think the NSA got taps on him and they gave him to Obama.
Well, doesn't that say then we have no chance?
We have no chance in the court system, ma'am. It's the only way we're going to get this done is we've got to force Congress somehow to do an investigation. Somehow we've got to get Congress to do it. That's the only tool we have left. The media won't do it. The court won't do it. And the people are not going to uprise and do it because the media has kept them all in the dark.
And I'll leave you with this. I appreciate the call. Barry Sotero has been in office for over 5 years. What's a couple of more months of hard grassroots work? Nothing. He's been in office over 5.5 years. Couple of more months of hard work, pounding the pavement, seeing your congressmen, getting the appointments, and giving them the information. And I want to thank you for the call.
The election cycle starts again this fall, and the congressmen will be more attuned when the election cycle starts.
I'm just going to keep everybody on the air right now. I had former Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin scheduled for 8:15. His handle and attorney, Marco, is on the line. I'm going to bring him on the line. I know everybody is aware of who Terry Lakin was.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, give me a second here.
Is Mario still on?
Yeah, I'm here, Charlie.
Hey, Mario.
Hi, is this Marco? Are you on the line?
It is. Thanks for bringing me on, and really a pleasure to be on with Charles, who I know very well, and Mario, who I've interviewed one or two times. And Terry, we've been trying to get him on. They are out in the West, and he cannot get a signal. So I'm. He sent me an email with a message, and certainly I can cover his case with great accuracy, Michael. So.
I attended the court martial too, so anything that
Marco
says, I can attest to in person.
Hi, Marco. It's Mario.
Hey, Mario. So Michael, just so people know, you and I met when you put up this billboard, which is now in the back of my van, and I was explaining to some people what happened. Michael put up this really neat billboard, and it just you're on a rural road in a rather lowly populated outside area. And the local zoning office, or whatever it was, Michael, was just inundated, just got so many calls and emails, they simply could not do business. And so the local manager came to Michael and said, look, you know, we'll sue you or you can just take it down. And he took it down. But what's interesting about that, and I try to explain this to people, and certainly, Charles, you and I have had some very intense conversations about this, is you are really good at this, is explaining to the average person how this just fastidious and intense and bizarrely aggressive world of what many call OBOTs are, where they simply just anything that's anti-Obama, anything that reeks of attack or criticism, they just swamp the person. I mean, I have been the focus of many attacks on Fogbo, as have many of us on this call, over the most rudimentary and minuscule things. And so, boy, Michael, thanks for putting the sign up.
You're welcome. And the reason that we had put the sign up is because of Terry's sacrifice, for standing up for what he believed and what is the truth, for what he went through, for his imprisonment, and for his sacrifice, and for his service to this country. And that's why the reason the billboard was up. And it would still be up today had it not been for the way you just explained it. And
yep.
I wasn't just going to throw the billboard in the garbage, and I sent it to Terry. you know, as a thank you for his service.
Well, yeah, these OBOTs operate in organized groups, and I personally believe it was directed right out of the White House cellar and or this 50,000 square foot warehouse that's out in Chicago somewhere, where Obama, with unlimited amounts of money, has organized groups who just monitor the internet, and the slightest thing that they can get a hook on somebody, they'll go after them like piranhas. I mean, Mario, you can attest to that you've battled these people many times. Have they gone after you on some of your writings and things? And they use Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky to attack you on any kind of mode they can, as malicious and dirty as they can be. They'll do it. That's the communist party's campaign strategy, to go after you personally if they can't get you on the facts.
Yeah, ridicule is way, way, way high in their list. You know, ridicule and personal attack and identify the target type thing. You know, and then they your name, and then of course then they start playing with your name.
Put a name on
jokes.
It, right?
You know, they make all these jokes, and it's just all ridicule and the litmus test. I love that one. With the, if you're going to run for office, oh, are you a birther? Oh, you're a birther? You're a nut. You know, that's why these politicians are afraid to say anything, because the media did that.
They play whack-a-mole, Mario. Somebody sticks their head up, they whack them down like whack-a-mole.
Yeah, they give you a litmus test type thing.
So
people might forget, there was a list called a journal list back in the 2008 campaign, where 400 journalists were on a secret list coordinating their attacks on the opposition. This is how these people operate. The Fogbo is another one. They're the most malicious.
Right. I have the only good thing they've ever had to say about me and Terry is they found that I had a double bell euphonium, which is a very rare instrument, and someone said they were jealous that I had it. But everything else has been petty. But, Michael, just for a second, perhaps if some listeners are on who are not entirely familiar with the story, because I sit here in my office every day. I've got a poster of Terry's book up on the wall. And I listen to the news, and I watch, I watch Fox and the news channels while I'm working sometimes. And I just sit here in utter despair some days, just cannot figure out how so many sworn leaders in this country, not one of them, will at least call for an investigation, even though their constituents have demanded it. And you try to explain to people what Terry did, and they don't quite realize the gravity of it. I spoke to Mike Huckabee's producer a few weeks ago, and she was very nice. They had booked Terry at one point, and then they canceled it because it was some big news cycle that happened. And I couldn't get him back on. I finally got hold of her, and she's very nice. We talked for a while, and she said, it's just not news anymore. It's settled in most people's mind, and the governor just, doesn't want to deal with things like that. And I was like, well, Joan, it may be settled, but they're settled because no one will cover it.
I think she was giving you platitudes, Marco. She was giving you platitudes.
The point is, and I made the point to her, she kind of agreed. I mean, it's nothing less than the integrity of the Constitution. And so for those of you that may know the story briefly, I mean, basically, 18-year Army veteran, doctor, incredible doctor. I know that because he's actually done adjustments on me once in a while. Amazingly skilled doctor. Chose to invite his own court-martial by disobeying a direct order to deploy, which is a very serious crime in our armed services, as it should be. And he had hoped to, through normal discovery, to at least gather some information, and everything, those of you know the story, that everything was denied. I mean, he literally went to the trial with no defense of any kind. Not one piece of evidence was allowed to be entered. And so in the end, his final attorney worked hard just to keep him out of prison for 5 years. He did end up serving 6 months. And, you were talking about Fogbo. It just absolutely cracked me up when he went to prison and these Fogbo guys were going, oh, yeah, he's in some country club thing. And I put up on the website, like, no, I was there. It was a real prison. Drab clothes, concrete, guns, barbed wire.
It was Leavenworth. It was Leavenworth.
Yeah, it is the minimum security prison on the base, but it's a real prison, and he he got in trouble once for shortening his belt a few inches, you know. But in the end, and he'll tell you that his prison experience was quite transformative, and he built a lot of great friendships. I had a guy email the other day that said, you know, that meeting Terry was, you know, restored his hope in the future of the military. He said he was so frustrated with so many officers when he met Terry in prison. They both worked in the chapel library, that Terry was honorable and patient and wise and encouraging and really ministered to him. And, you know, he was just so amazed. He got out of prison. He called me to get a hold of Terry, and I forwarded it over. That's just one story of a number like that. And so, yes, Terry lost everything, but he found a lot of things, and he's now working. It's one of the reasons we've been kind of quiet. He's working very, very hard to try to restore his family's security and so forth. So,
tell us the name of the book on the wall, Marco. What's the name of the book and where to get it?
It is a book called Officer's Oath. It has a great essay in it by Mr. Kirshner.
The book's about Terry. It's his.
I'm just kidding. Yes, the book is about Terry, Jack Cashel and David Mercaldo, two very good writers. Jack Cashel wrote a phenomenal narrative of Terry's story, some very dramatic scenes. And he spent a lot of time with Terry, and David Mercaldo interviewed over 30 people who were involved with Terry and in the eligibility issue. And our goal was not only for people to understand Terry's bravery and Terry's actions, but also to understand, like as Jack Cashel and I used to say, this is not your father's tinfoil hat and underwear story. These people who were involved are from every walk of life, retired pilots, lawyers, teachers, laborers, all over the place, some well-educated, some not well-educated, all intent on one thing, the integrity of the Constitution. And as we've said so many times, and I'm sure you've already said on this show, we are not asking for anything very hard here. We are not asking for 30,000 boxes of property records from the Clintons or a dozen other things or unraveling Benghazi and all these other hard things we have. We're asking for simple legal certification that Mario would demand from almost any client in any kind of situation like this. And yet not only haven't they, but they stalwartly refuse to. And I don't understand why the public and our elected officials of both sides of the House haven't just risen up and said, look, Mr. Obama, let's just get this aired out, because it's a serious issue. And then, of course, and you may have already discussed this, the thing that's really irking me is that we now have utter disregard for this constitutional clause. I mean, Republicans are talking about people running for president who are clearly not compliant. You know, if we think we need to change this, fine, change it. But you do it the way you change the Constitution. You don't just flagrantly disregard it. The average person is clueless about the dangers of what is occurring here long term.
Or redefine what the meaning of words are. That's what they do all the time. Yeah. The progressives redefine the meaning of words, like the word, what depends on the word is means. Now it depends on what the word natural born citizen means, depending on the candidate. We can make it anything we want.
Yeah,
you can't
just,
even get a job with some companies unless you give your Facebook password, and all we're asking for is verification.
Yep.
You couldn't provide evidence on a image of a digital image on a laptop computer for anything. I mean, you know, so here's my birth certificate. Flip up your laptop and see how many people start laughing at you. And that's all Obama has done to the whole country. He's shown a digital image, which has been proven to be. He showed two digital images, a short form and a long form, both of which have been proven to be forgeries and a forged draft registration card. And he's using a stolen Social Security number. I mean, the MO fits. If you don't have a real identification, you forge everything and you steal a Social Security number. It all fits.
Marco, could you go back for me at the beginning when Dr. Lakin first became aware of the forged birth certificate? How he followed it, because it's not in the mainstream media. And at what point did he put his foot down and say, enough is enough, I'm taking a stand?
Right, so this is a very interesting part of this. And again, you know, one of the things that makes Terry such a fascinating participant in this is that those who have met him know he's the real deal. He's just a humble, quiet guy. And he became aware of this a few months before the election, 3 or 4 months. He started studying it. He talked to people. And then for the first 2 years of Obama's first term, he pursued it aggressively through every means available to him as an officer in the Army. There's a number of procedures that he can to file grievances, to challenge orders, and so forth. Not only were almost all of them ignored or just pushed aside procedurally, but some were even illegally avoided. I mean, even his congressional committee wouldn't address him. And so he kept hearing is, well, you're it doesn't matter because you're responsible to obey your officers above you, which anyone who now knows, that is not the oath of officers in the Army or federal officials. They are sworn to protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies, domestic and foreign. And the enlisted men swear to obey their officers, but not the officers. And so they kept telling him this, So then when Obama stood up and said, I am ordering a surge to Afghanistan, Terry said, well, that's pretty clear. It's not coming down the chain of command. It's coming from him. And unless I have verification that he legitimately holds and legally holds the office of president, I'm considering his command unlawful. And what's interesting is that the people around Terry had no idea. He was very quiet up at this. He was not vocal. He followed procedures. He followed, you know, every part of the integrity of being an officer in the Army, he followed to the T. But then he chose, as many of you know, to do the video. I was there. I recorded it. That he would choose to not show up for his deployment, and therefore force the issue. And boy, what a torrent of attacks came subsequent to that. I mean, the 3 or 4 months during the trial, Ducky Hemingway was pounded when I took over the trust. Those first 4 or 5 months, I mean, I got calls, vile calls, screaming calls, horrid emails, all from fake phone numbers and email addresses, of course. It was kind of like being in the Marines or something. I don't know. It was just, you know, pummeled. So.
Well, it was an organized attack on you and Terry. That's what they do.
Yeah.
So, Marco, your discovery efforts were absolutely for naught?
Correct. The judge in the case said that Terry's crime was missing movement, which is a serious crime in the Army. If you just don't show up, it's different than going AWOL.
Sure.
And she said that was all, and it didn't matter what his motives were or his reasons or anything else. And so the long list that Paul Jennings had of demands for discovery, which would have been completely appropriate, were denied point by point. And so they literally had, and Charles was there, they had no witnesses, they had no evidence. Anything that would have been a credible defense simply was not allowed. And so Terry went on trial for missing movement, and of course he was guilty. He admitted he was guilty. And there were some, if you could say, some humorous parts of the trial, including the incredibly weepy doctor's wife who had to go in Terry's place, this doctor, and, you know, she was crying on the stand, and, you know, they had waited to have children. He'd been the same 18 years Terry had never deployed one time, had always found a way to avoid it one way or another. And here's Terry, who in the same 18 years was deployed numerous times, hazard duty almost every time, still managed to be married and have 3 children and carry on a life. And so the contrast was just really kind of extraordinary between the two men. And there was a couple of other airline employees who were brought in, which was a little bit strange. And in the end, you know, basically all Neil Puckett could do was just try to keep Terry out of hard labor.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So, Marco, is all this detailed in Officer's Oath?
It is, in perfectly nice, readable prose that Jack wrote. Gives you all the high points and some of the drama of him being, you know, it's kind of scary. And Charles was there. I wasn't there on the third day. I was back here doing all kinds of work for Ducky and pounding out stuff. But, you know, they accused him. They took him back. He said goodbye to his family, and they shackled him. And that was that. And then
tell Karen where she can get it. I mean, it's on Amazon.
Right. The easiest way is just go to officersoath.com, and you can order it right from there. There's a whole bunch of ways to buy it. And just encourage everyone to go there, officersoath.com. Now, we do have some interest in making a movie about his story, but it's very slow going. And fundraising on it has just basically been null. In fact, as Charles was mentioning earlier, since Obama released the completely fallacious long-form birth certificate, basically fundraising just that day just dropped off, and it has never recovered, no matter what I've done. We make big appeals. We get a couple hundred dollars. That's it. I mean, nothing. It's kind of scary.
Marco, during the trial, did you get the sense of being in the room that everybody knew but couldn't say or do anything?
Yeah, pretty much. And Charles was there, too. I mean, what was funny is, of course, I don't think they expected to have a sympathetic set of a sympathetic audience. I mean, at one point, you know, the audience, a couple times, I guess the audience started cheering and clapping. Like, Charles, you were there for that, right?
Right.
And the judge was not so happy about that, you know. And it was just a little bit strange. But, no, absolutely. In fact, I'm just, you know, I'm not a jury
Do you remember, Marco, whose pictures were above the jury?
Yeah, it should have been Obama and Biden, right?
No, that right above the jury were pictures of George Washington.
That's right.
The founding fathers. I mean, this court martial was nothing more than a determination of his punishment. He was convicted when he walked in there. I mean, it was kangaroo court martial. He was allowed no defense whatsoever. I mean, as an officer, we're taught the Nuremberg defenses is no defense, that you just don't follow orders. If you question the orders, that they're unconstitutional or illegal, and you're supposed to question them. He wasn't allowed to present that. He was just asking questions.
Fact, to Mario's question, Mario, just in general, it did look like, of course, I've not ever been in a court martial before, but the they're not called the jury. What do they call it? I keep forgetting, the panel, whatever. But they didn't look real comfortable. I mean, basically, I think they realize this is extremely awkward.
The other thing, when officers training, the chain of command is posted in every military base, and the chain of command at the very top is a picture of the president. I sat there and heard the court argue that the chain of command does not go back to the president. It was a complete kangaroo court. I mean, especially for foreign deployment, all orders must come from the president for foreign deployment of soldiers in a combat zone.
Constitutionally, it has to. He's the commander-in-chief.
Yep, exactly.
You know, constitutionally, I mean, there's no way to deny that. How could you deny that with a straight
they
face?
They did it with a straight face. The court, the prosecution attorneys did it with a straight face right to the court, and the court never questioned it.
Yeah, so basically, you know, I was going to do a cartoon, a political cartoon, but we just haven't done it yet. We're basically saying, you know, the top of the headline says, just about the only reason we can figure that no one's acted on the eligibility issue, and then we just show two lines of Congress and Senate walking into two doors, and it says, you know, castration's here, basically. I mean, I just don't get it. I've talked to my congressman. Terry and I went down and talked to my congressman. He said to me, well, it'll be resolved in the next election. And I said, but Andy, what if it's not? And, of course, it wasn't. And I've tried to reach out to him a number of times, and he hasn't responded to me at all. This is a guy I've known for years, good conservative guy. I've worked on his campaigns. I mean, I don't know what has scared the heebie-jeebies out of all these people. But the problem, of course, is sooner or later, the truth is going to come out. And who knows what hell will be unleashed across the country. Mario probably can address it. But there will be – you talk about litigation – and court trials, we are going to clog the courts for decades on this. You know, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, well, you know, on that issue, the problem is that when you have a confrontation that's emotional and where people just want a certain result, they don't care what the facts are. They'll actually, you know, make up their own facts. Even though there's no evidence, they'll say that somebody's lying or somebody's doing this or that, because that's the result that they want, because they're driven by something, as you know, whatever it is, it just an emotion. You've got you know, that is a bad situation. It's a bad situation. And you know, we talked about a constitutional republic. A constitutional republic is not supposed to act that way. It's not. It has to act intelligently, you know, based on information, based on evidence. You're not supposed to convict anybody, you know, unless you have the evidence. You're not supposed to accuse somebody and you know, drag them through something unless you've got, you know, sufficient evidence. And even in the world of politics, you know, we should be making decisions based on information that's verified and you know, has been tested.
And the law.
Yeah, the law or whatever it is. It could be a scientific field. you know, a scientific issue, like, you know, like a climate change or something, or what, you know, whatever the situation is. But, you know, you got to act on intelligence in order, if you're going to have a constitutional republic. So, you know, when you get into this, you know, mob mentality and just emotions and, you know, race wars that we see going on here, I mean, that's your civilized society just crumbles. Yeah, it just crumbles, and that's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, it's when you look at that, that's one of the things that, of course, is frightening to me and Terry and you guys, many others, is that, you know, what would tip us into, like, quasi-anarchy? I mean, everything, you know, I drive around every day, and everyone's coming and going and buying gas and groceries and stopping at 7-Eleven and picking up Starbucks and everything, and then you think, well, what would it take, like, to just tip all this, like, instantly? I was thinking the other day, I mean, I was in high school in the 70s, it was right before I started driving in that first big gas crisis. Many people just don't remember that. Certainly no young people do, where we had to go and wait online to get gas when there was a gas curfew. I remember trying to drive back from college, and we'd drive up 95 from Florida, and we'd have to stop at a rest stop and just sleep for 7 hours till they opened the gas pump, you know. You know, we're just kind of living this little dream here, but, you know, if we don't figure this out, our little dream might be quite a crisis at some point. That's another very, very scary thing, particularly as, like, Walter Fitzpatrick and some others who are dealing with this just blatant disregard for laws both locally, statewide, and federally. And you think, what do you do when the law givers and enforcers don't follow the law at that point? You know, it's hopeless. So
we have about 12 minutes left to the end of the show. I do have a loyal listening audience. I want to take one more call tonight from a listener that may have a question. And we're going to go to Cowboy Joe, who's been holding on. Joe, you're on the air.
All right. Howdy, Mike, and howdy to all your listeners out there, everybody. It's great to be on the show, Mike. I appreciate it.
Okay, Joe, we have a small amount of time. Do you have a question or a comment?
I do, Mike, and I'm sorry I missed some of your show here, but to me, the whole key of this situation, and I want to urge everybody and your listeners and everybody to listen up here for a second, because old Cowboy Joe's got something he'd like to suggest. And the key to this situation is the media. The media are the propaganda arm of what we have as a dictatorship here in the United States of America now. They are the ones who are responsible for putting that guy in there and for propping him up. My urging here is for everybody to bombard those liars, those professional, those paid liars, with a demand for the truth. It's real clear and real simple, everybody. We got to demand that they tell the truth about who this guy is, what his agenda is, and what he's actually doing, because they are covering for him 24/7, 365. It's been that way from the get-go. All our congressmen, they know who this guy is. They all know. The media bigwigs know. They all know. They're stooges that on that tube every day are the ones who are covering this up. They are paid liars. The only thing that can counteract a lie is the truth, and we have to demand it from them point blank, bluntly, and loudly and clearly. That's the only way we're going to get anything done here. The Congress and the Senate will not listen to their constituency as they should, because they know they can put us off. But the one thing they fear more than anything else is the media. So if we put the heat on the media, that Congress is going to jump the way they're supposed to, because there are paid servants. But they are being bought off by the media and by all them big wigs up there, all them big shots, the guys with the big bucks. They could care less about we the people. That's what needs to be done, if you ask Cowboy Joe. I email them every day. Those clowns on Fox News and all them other networks, they are nothing but a propaganda machine. We want to get freedom. We got to fight for our freedom and tell them we want the truth. The truth shall set you free, and it will set us free from this dictator wannabe. That's my suggestion to everybody, and I hope that everybody takes it to heart and gets in action, because otherwise we're going to be stuck here, and our country is going to become a some kind of weird affair that we don't want and we don't need. Let's not go there. We can do it, and we can get this guy out of there, because he needs to be out. He should not finish what he started here, and we can get him out.
Let me
Joe,
give you an example.
Cowboy
Joe, an example of what Mario and I did one time. You remember the Judge Napolitano show?
Yeah.
On Fox News? Well, they had a system where you could pick a subject and you could pick a person that you wanted on there, and when you got to be number one in the number of votes, they would put you on. Well, they put on the subject we wanted to talk about, natural born citizen, and the debating partner, the person to put on, was Mario Puzo. And we got up to number one in both the person and the subject, and they just ignored it. And eventually Judge Napolitano, because he was told by Fox New higher-ups that you can't do this, and eventually Judge Napolitano was taken off the air.
I understand
they
what
won't
you're saying,
be the,
but
the
that, that's exactly my point. This is a war. This is a war, a truth against a lie, and we have to bombard them, and we have to do it in concert. This is my suggestion. It has to be a massive thing, coast to coast, and everybody's got to do it and demand. This has to be a public outcry against that propaganda machine. They are the big wheels who are running the show. They're the ones who put him in there. That's why you ain't hearing nothing about this, because
exactly.
They put him in there. There's really big people who rule this world who want that done. They think that they can run over us roughshod. They're out of their minds, if you ask me, and we're going to give them something else by simply demanding the truth. But it's got to be done 24/7, and we got to get a whole lot of people understanding what the true story is and then bombard them with the truth. That's the only way to do it. It can't just be one show, because, like you say, they'll just kick that guy out of there.
Cowboy Joe, wait a minute. Lou Dobbs tried to stand up. CNN fired him.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean,
okay.
You know,
Joe,
let them fire the whole
mob of them liars. I could care less if they fire all of them. We got to fire
saying,
this Congress.
What I'm saying, Cowboy Joe, is that the media is the problem. They are the problem, and I don't know how we're going to change.
That's what he's saying.
What I'm saying is that's something that I don't see anybody out there doing. I don't see anybody confronting them point blank and calling them out for what they are, which is liars and propagandists. That's all they are. We're living in North Korea with toys here. That's insane. I can't believe that I'm living in the United States of America. It's like I'm living in China or North Korea. And the only way we can do it, we got to have a massive amount of people like they did in Egypt demanding that justice be served, because what's
That's
being
right.
done now is unjust.
If
they
2 million people camped out in Washington, D.C. and demanded an investigation that we get done.
We got to have massive thing.
Joe, I appreciate your comments and your passion. We're running out of time, Joe. I appreciate the call. I'm going to put you back on hold, Joe. Thank you very much.
Mike, thanks.
Thank you, Joe.
For those that don't know Cowboy Joe, you can do a YouTube search and look for Cowboy Joe. He's very passionate. He probably reflects the sentiment of a lot of people.
He correctly identifies the problem, but I don't know how to break through the media, because they put Obama in power.
They did.
Right on.
He's very passionate about it. I said, if you go to YouTube and do a Cowboy Joe search, you'll see all of his videos. And he sends a lot of them to Fox News. Never gets a response. I wonder why.
I got a couple thousand-piece mail list and Twitters and stuff, and I'm a whole bunch of media people on there. They hear from me just about every other day. We had Mario and I had our lawsuit going. We were constantly trying to get these talking heads to put us on. We had people that were going in the back door, going in the front door. They wouldn't put us on. They don't want us on. They don't want to hear the truth. because they're the ones that are covering up the truth.
We're winding down the show. I'd like to thank all of my guests. I'd like to thank Karen, Commander. I'd like to thank Mario. I'd like to thank Marco, all the callers that called in tonight. Appreciation. I know it's been hard work, and I know we're still working on it each and every day. Marco, I wanted to ask you one more quick question. Is Terry
sure.
still following current events today? Is he aware of what Zulu is up to?
Oh, absolutely. And I've spoken to Mike Zulu a few times, as have a number of people on this call. Terry wrote me a note, and he said, you know, please express my sadness and dismay that all of our branches of government and the lamestream media continue to fail Americans for their own agenda. He was on to say the information that continues to come out about Benghazi, Extortion 17, Fast and Furious, IRS, and so many other criminal actions should make all our military leaders hang their heads in shame. Same with Congress, the judges, and all government service workers. I have an oath of office. They all have an office oath where they swore to uphold continuing to ignore the issues or the nexus for them all in the White House is complicity in likely serious crimes. I mean, really, it is so incredibly intense. As Terry follows the news fastidiously, and we frequently discuss these things, and he is aghast and just as intent on his action with no regrets as he ever was in the beginning.
Good.
Well, thank you. Karen, do you have
any
closing
I don't think
thoughts?
It's going to end until there's a second American Revolution, but I'm not advocating violence or anything like that. But that's probably the only way it's going to get changed. And I'll tell you what, if it starts, the other side's going to be able to start it. They're going to start it, but the true American patriots are going to finish it.
Something needs to be done. I have to agree with that. Karen,
if Congress doesn't act, they're going to what they fear is going to happen, because they're going to never Neville Chamberlain this situation with Obama to death, and we're going to have a Hitler type person try to take tyrannical control completely, and that's when it's going to hit the fan in this country.
Yeah.
It's going to really hit
the
fan.
Thank you, Commander. Karen, are you still there?
Yes, I am, Mike. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to participate in your show. We all know President Obama is not eligible for the office he holds. He is not a natural-born citizen. And more than that, we know he does not respect the rule of law. Rather, he unilaterally changes parts of laws with which he disagrees, ignores other laws completely, like the Defense of Marriage. He usurps laws with which he disagrees. So we know that it is not the rule of law, but what is politically advantageous at the moment that epitomizes the person occupying the White House at the moment. And so, therefore, I would encourage your listeners to please insist that their particular congressional representative start a congressional investigation into his eligibility and fitness for office, because it is clear. Cowboy Joe could not be more clear. The mainstream media has failed us, so we the people have to take it right to our representative.
Very well put, Karen. Thank you. Thank you for being on the show tonight.
Thank you.
Mario, any closing thoughts, Mario? And I really appreciate you coming on, Mario.
Well, Mike, thank you for giving me the opportunity to explain the issue, you know, natural-born citizen, the two components, you know, born in the country, the citizen parents. And I want to thank the commander. Always a pleasure to be with you, Charlie, discussing this issue, Karen and Marco. I hope that the American people are thinking hard on this issue, even though they might not be vocal, you know, as millions. You know, we've got some who are vocal, but we don't have the big numbers. But I hope that they're acting silently, intelligently, and when the time comes, they're going to make the right decisions. That's my hope, that, you know, in their heart and in their mind, they know what the real deal is, and they're just going along right now, you know, just to get through this. But that we're going to get back on track here, and we're going to honor the Constitution and the rule of law and the truth, as opposed to just attacking people and creating this mob mentality and, you know, running a nation on emotion, which gets you nothing but trouble. I hope that we can get back on track and running an intelligent country.
Thank you, Mario. Appreciate it. Why don't you give out your blog spot, Mario? I have 10 seconds left for you.
Yeah, my Blogspot is Puzo, that's P-U-Z-O, the number one, .blogspot.com.
Thank you, Mario. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike, and all everybody on the line.
Thank you, everybody.
Have a good evening.
Commander,
take care.
Thank you for coming on. And why don't you go out your Blogspot, Commander?
ProtectOurLiberty.org and CommanderKirchner.wordpress.com. CDRKERCHNER.wordpress.com.
Thank you, Commander. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Take care. Good night,
and
everyone.
Marco, any information you want to give out? Any contacts? Websites?
Sure. I mean, we invite everybody to go to terrylakin.com, TerryLakin, and read Terry's story, and go to officersoath.com and buy the book. There you go.
Thank you, Marco, and have a good night.
You too. Take care. Bye.
Okay, this is Mike from Where's Obama's Birth Certificate.com. That's Mike from Where's Obama's Birth Certificate.com. Don't forget, birthcertificate.com. Up to date daily information. You can find anything on the birth certificate controversy. Thanks. Have a good night.
Business that you didn't build, that somebody else made that happen.